I remember I now had an insurance agency, and my pastor wanted me to become the youth pastor, and I'd just been an assistant helping, you know, just to do it because I play guitar, and I thought, he doesn't know better. He just found Jesus, put him in there. He'll, you know, we'll see if they eat him alive or what happens, you know. And so, because youth groups were notorious for just tearing up people, and I didn't know better. So I just hung in, you know. One thing, I may not be smart, but I'm really stubborn, okay, really perseverant. That's the German part of me for you Germans that are here. I have a little of that in me, too. If you're American, you're not American, you know what I mean? So you're part of everything else. And, you know, I didn't want to... My pastor approached me, he was a friend, said, why don't you be the pastor, youth pastor? Because youth pastors kept coming and going, and we remain. And just persevering, I guess. And I kept saying no, 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 no. For 6 months that went on, I fasted for 5 days, make a longer story shorter. And, you know, I told the Lord, I said, look, if you gave Moses a burning bush, give me a burning bush. Fair deal. You did it for that guy, this guy with the beard over here walking around out in the desert. Give me a burning bush. You can do it. I believe by faith you can do it again. You did it once, no problem. So I fasted for 5 days. Breath got really bad, if you know what I'm saying. Not that it's good even on a good day, but after 5 days of not eating, it was like you'd peel the paint off the wall here. Yeah, and so I remember, you know, and I had this insurance agency, and I could make a lot of money, and I had every reason to stay with that. I had a secretary, I had an office, you know, let's go. I caught myself looking out the window. I just lost my desire. It became drudgery, you know. And I remember going to church that morning and sitting in the pew. It was early, really tired, probably didn't want to be there. Bad breath and all, sitting there. And all these people are looking, you know, they're coming in, they're sitting, they all look very bored, very numb. It's early. And I remember the pastor coming out and saying, well, today I'm going to talk to you about a topic that you all know about. I'm going to talk to you about Moses and the burning bush. And I kind of went, hello. Coincidence? I don't know. You know, I mean, it's because I am stubborn, I prayed for 3 more days. And then finally said to the pastor, okay, I think I'm supposed to do it. Did I feel able? No. But God gives ability to those he calls. God will help you over the hump if you're willing, and he says do it. Now, to demystify calling a little bit, calling isn't just for people in the ministry, because guess what? If you know Jesus, you're in the ministry. Matter of fact, you know what it says about pastors? We're to be equippers. We're here to go get them. And you're the ones that are supposed to go get them. You know what I mean? That's the way it works. You're the ministers. I hope you understand that. If not, well, we'll have an ordination service here in a minute. We'll just pray over you, and you can know. We're all ministers, because that's what God sees in you. You know, for those of us who are believers, the final aim of life is placed beyond this life, because this is not our home, right? We're just passing through. We have eternal life when we know Jesus Christ. And when he ushered to the dirty fishermen on the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago, that changed it. So what is our reason for living? Do we have a sense of purpose in our life? Or are you pulled to and fro, back and forth by many forces trying to take control of your life? You ever feel that? Things that seem to be pulling on you like a remote control. In the last couple of decades, the church has had a lot of reference to seekers, people who are spiritually unattached and looking most likely for spiritual answers. And we always make it sound like you've got to search for God. God's behind a tree, but you don't know which one. You got to look for him. He's crafty old guy, you know? You know, it's kind of like, ooh, we're seeking after God. It's like, God, really? Are you hiding that well? The secret of seeking is not in the human going up to God, but it's more like God coming down to man. You know what I mean? It's more that than it us reaching up to God in our human condition. It's God coming down to us. It's like this. We start searching, but we end up being discovered. You know what I mean? We search, but we get discovered. Or it's kind of like we're looking for something, then we realize we've been found by someone. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but I can. You know, there's a Christian writer named Lee Strobel who used to be an atheist lawyer, and he actually set out to disprove God just to bolster his own stance. And in his quest to search out the things of God to disprove them, God found him. And in that whole process, and now he's writing books about why people need to believe in Jesus. Deuteronomy 4:29 says this. It says, "But if you, from there, you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." God is not elusive. God is here. Jesus gives the promise himself that if we pursue him, he will be found. We also have an example that shows that seekers are also being sought by God. Remember the story of, there's a guy named blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10:49, and he was told this by the disciples. Jesus said, "Go tell him to take heart, get up. He's calling you." Take heart. Jesus is calling you. Blind beggar on the side of the road. Not only are we called to be, but we're also recognized as unique people, individuals, significant, invited into a relationship between the called and the caller. Isaiah 43:1 says this, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." So much for God hiding. Calls us by name. You can say, "I'm not called." Yeah, God says, "I call you by name." But are you listening? Will you follow? When we follow his call, we not only become what we were meant to be, but we also are becoming what we are not yet. Does that make sense? We become what we're meant to be, but we are still becoming what we are not yet. God is still doing something deeper. And through the seasons in our life, things change. But being called is as much a progression as it is at the moment. We can decide to refuse. We can be unresponsive to the call of God. Or we can respond and rise to the fullness that he has called us to be. Another writer that's really a Christian apologetic guy, C.S. Lewis. Most of you are familiar with that, with the movies in the last few years that they've taken off of his books. It says, "The more that we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let him take over, the more truly ourselves we become." The more we get out of the way, the more he can become. And that reminded me of a verse in John 3:30. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Sometimes our calling isn't heard because we're too busy about our own increase and we're not concerned enough about us becoming small enough that God could say, "Now I'm big enough." The world has it backwards, you know. They profess to be unsure of God, and they pretend to be sure of themselves. Whereas Christians, we do it the other way. We turn it around and say, "Unsure of ourselves, but we are sure of God." Why? Because he must increase, and we must decrease. I remember people used to talk about, you know, getting into full-time ministry, and like it was the only real ministry if everyone was a pastor. You know, I mean, it's like, well, who would be in the congregation, by the way, if everyone was a pastor? We would all be preaching to ourselves. The pastors are called to be the equippers, like I said, and you guys are called to do the ministry. But being called in the ministry, I said earlier, we're all called. It's not about one person. It's about, yeah, there are some people that are called to be evangelists, some people called to be missionaries, some people called to be prophets, all those kinds. Sure, sure. But we're all called to be in the ministry. There was a guy named William Wilberforce. I don't know if you know who that is. A British politician. Moreover, he was a strong believer. And at 25 years of age, he had a real encounter with the presence of the living God. And he lived in 18th century England. And he almost missed his calling. Why? Because when he became a Christian, he thought he was supposed to give up politics. He was working in the parliament. and he had a place of influence, and he said, well, then I must go out and be in the ministry. And a guy named John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, by the way, and he also used to be a slave trader before he came to Jesus. Then he wrote Amazing Grace. Convinced Wilberforce, says, no, God's calling you where you're at. Maybe, just maybe, God's positioned you here for your ministry to do something great. And you know what? He was the one responsible for pushing through the abolition of slave trading in England. Plus, he had his hand on 69 other reforms. He nearly missed that calling because he thought, well, I've got to go out and be in the ministry. Guess what? You're in the ministry. You don't have to be up here with a microphone like me to be in the ministry. You are called. You're in the ministry. It doesn't matter if you're an architect like Laura over here. It doesn't matter if you're a student. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher. It doesn't matter. You are in a ministry. And who you are is Christ in you. And what you influence in that place is really important. Too often, I think, in the church, we've tried to divorce the secular from the spiritual. And really, God's called us to be there. This is an hour and a half on Sunday morning. Big deal. That is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is what that is. And God says, this is your calling. This is your ministry. God calls us to be used in our jobs, schools, positions, situations. Those are just the tools, the vehicles, but God's purposes don't change. Remember the story of Esther and Mordecai? Told Esther, said, you got to go talk to the king. She was the queen. She was Jewish. King didn't even know it. And Mordecai said, your people are going to die because there's a plot to kill the people, and the king needs to be alerted to it. And she said, yeah, but if I go before him, I could die. But then she said, better I die. Bottom line, she came down to, my calling is worth dying for if need be. And she went before the king. Of course, the rest is history. And Mordecai told Queen Esther, he said, who knows but that you have been appointed for this time and this purpose. And she was in the secular court of a king. The body of Christ's followers is a community of called out ones. And that means everyone, everywhere, everything. There's no category of life that God wants left untouched. He has called us out from the world to go right back into the world, to change the world, not to be like the world, but to be different than the world so that the world can see who he is clearly, plainly, decisively, definitively. So his lordship requires that kind of response for the kingdom purpose. Paul said this about the Colossians. And by the way, this is the power verse for next week, Tanasha. Where's Tanasha? Hi. Oh, sorry, I didn't see you for the poll. But I know, I'm just teasing. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Now, we missed a couple weeks because we had some different stuff going on, but every week, and you can check on our website, and we'll have these. Next week, we'll see who knows this one. Not too hard. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So our primary calling as followers of Christ is by him, to him, and for him. That's first and most importantly, you're called to someone. We're called to God. We're not called to something. You're not called to be a student as much as you're called to be a Christ follower. You just happen to be a student. You're not called to be an architect as much as you're called to be a Christ follower. You just happen to be an architect. And so it goes down the line. Our secondary calling is that everyone, everywhere, and in everything should speak, think, and live, and act completely for him. So whatever you find yourself doing, do it as unto the Lord, right? Wherever you find yourself, the work you're doing is unto the Lord. You know, there was a Dutch prime minister named Abraham Kuyper in years gone by that said, there's not one square inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not cry out, this is mine, this belongs to me. Our first calling doesn't change. We are born again, bought by the blood of Jesus when we know Jesus Christ. We're to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, with all of our strength. And the second part of the calling is the serving part. A secondary calling would be like motherhood or being a teacher or whatever, but they're never the primary calling. For us to really understand calling, we've got to make sure that the primary calling doesn't get overtaken by the secondary calling. This is where a lot of people get hung up. They let their secondary calling take the place of their primary calling. And that's not the correct order. It's God first in everything, everywhere. So calling is not reserved for pastors, missionaries, or evangelists. It's an outflow of who we are in Christ and should also be experienced in what we do. In other words, everyone, everywhere, and everything. You got to remember, Jesus was a carpenter, right? Paul was a tent maker. The apostles, some of them, were fishermen. Everyone, everywhere, everything fulfills his or her secondary callings in obedience to God's primary calling. If you have a need of any kind, or if you feel confusion in your life, that is not God. We want to pray for you for that. Understand and take up the calling. When Jesus said, follow me, they dropped their nets and they immediately followed him. How are you following him? Where is your calling? Is your first and foremost calling is to him? Do you have that square? Is that solid? And the secondary calling is what you're doing right now, where you're at. How's God using you? Do it as unto the Lord.